go back again to Psalm 139. I had said a couple of weeks ago that the intent originally was just to focus on verse 17 and 18, but it was awfully hard to bypass the rest of this chapter to get there. So we did the exposition of the whole chapter. Today I want to look at these two verses. The title of the message is this: God is thinking about you. One way or the other, God is thinking about every individual. And I guess the question we need to ask ourselves is, how is he thinking about us? The theme of the chapter is the omniscience of God. God's eye has always, and presently, and has always been on us. All of us. Even unbelievers, his eye has always been on them. Nothing. Here's the thing that we have to remember with God is time is not to God. Everything is present with God. And that's, time is for us. God is just in the present and has always been in the present and will always be in the present. There is no plans for God. It's just, so, you know, we got to think in that direction always. And I think it opens up the scripture if you always think that God has always been in the present. Nothing is coming up on him. It's just there. Time is always just for us. So he's always been with us. He knew before our birth our thoughts, our words, the secret and the unspoken words and thoughts. However, this psalm is a psalm of praise, not guilt. Not guilt. You know, God's searching and seeing and knowing is very foreboding to one not in saving union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a necessity. Like I'd said, before you come to Christ, it must be foreboding to you to know that his eyes are on you. But to believers today, this is a chapter of praise. For all of us in vital union with Christ, those chosen to be seen of the Father brings comfort, don't it, and peace. In other words, we can think of it this way: our best friend is never far from us. You know, we have our friends and our relatives, and we come and go. Even your wife and husband relationship, it's in and out, in and out, in and out. You come, you do your thing in the day, and you come back. Our best friend is always with us and always thinks about us. He never does not in his individual thoughts. It's not a conglomeration of Calvary Baptist Church. It's individual thoughts. I was thinking as we were singing, you got a handful of it. That, I saw a little bus this morning. There's a church down the road here. And they pray. I know what the message always is. One of two things always. It's either when God's coming back, when Jesus is coming back, or the other message is what you're supposed to wear till he gets here. And that church is busting out the seams. They always get wrong when he's coming back. You know, always. All my life they've got it wrong, Steve. All my life. But they continue, and that message, they love it. They love that message. They love that message on hell. They love that message on... But you get a handful to think about God himself thinking about you as an individual person, and you can't get a showing, can you? Our protector's hand is never off of us. Verse 10 there. Even there thy hand shall lead me in the way you should go. Or like I said last week, it restrains me. It's like one hand leads, the other hand says, nope, not there, not there, not there. Restrains you. He leads and holds, leads and holds. He's never off of you, though. His hand is always on you. His eye never sleeps. He never blinks. And if we could go to a place he's not, verses 7 through 12, if we could go to a place he's not, to a believer it'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? The very thoughts for just a second of God not being there. It would be terrifying. Just a second. If just one second those eyes and thoughts are off of me, and we're gone. Even, he never stops thinking, even when we don't seek him, you can see this in the Song of Solomon. When we don't seek him, when we don't feel him, when our faith sort of ebbs, and as Steve's been talking about that the last couple of weeks, when our faith sort of ebbs and, you know, is not where it should be, his thoughts are still on us. He's always above us, beneath us. That's what verses 8 and 9 are saying there. He's always above, below, east and west. He encompasses us. Always. Always. And the comfort of our sins, you know, you say, what gives us this? Why is there no guilt in thinking about, because we know our lives. We know our perverted, wicked, bad thoughts. But why is this not a message of fear for us? Because of our sins are laid on his son. So the thoughts of him, knowing our thoughts, doesn't bother us because those sins are put away. So it gives us a sense of joy, doesn't it? That's what David understood this. Oh my goodness, look at David. We're no different, but look at David. It gave him great joy to think, my God thinks of me. So let's look at the first point. It's a fact. This is the first point. It's a fact that God thinks of us. Verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. You know, there's a common providence, a common grace over all the earth, over all men. You know, when I left the fire department, that letter I wrote those men that I left, you know, I said, acknowledge the fact that I had seen his grace protect me specifically, miracle after miracle that you could think back over the years that preserved me. And I said, may his common grace continue to keep all of you. So there's a common grace to all men, a special grace to us, a common grace to all. You know, this world has a notion, this idea, and I think they're deist. I think the majority of this world as we know it would probably be deist, even if they're religious to some degree. And I don't even think they know what deist is. If you ask them, so you're a deist, they probably say, oh, what's that? But their concept of God is that. I think it is. And that theory is, you know, we've used it as that watch. God just wound up a clock or a watch and just let it go. Just set back, and now man, he just sort of watches and sees how things go. Never really puts his hand on it again. Just that's what a deist is in general. He doesn't control, he doesn't maintain, he doesn't guide, just lets it go. So, well, in keeping with that watch analogy, or that clock analogy, the fact of the matter is God's in every wheel, every cog of that clock, every stem, every hand, every single number. There is nothing that God's not in. That's the fact of what God is. God's spirit, he must be in everything. Verse 7, verse 7 here says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Your spirit is everywhere. Jeremiah, let me read that to you. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Jeremiah 20. He says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? In other words, am I just a God for you in this building? Does God just meet in this building? And he's not a God? You know, you used to pray before a football game or a basketball game. You'd have the prayer. And, you know, you used to wonder, well, what that other team's praying? Whose side's God going to be on? A baseball game. Y'all have those prayers, those silly prayers. And you think, well, whose team's he going to be with today? He's everywhere, isn't he? He's everywhere. Science teaches laws. But if you ask a scientist, what's the force behind the law? What drives it? What drives that? Take the law of gravity. This came up years ago when I was in school, and we had a science teacher trying to explain gravitational force, where gravity ends and weightlessness begins. And it's really unexplainable. And I wasn't trying to be religious, because I was not necessarily religious as a high schooler. Didn't care that much about it. But the first thought, because of what I had been thought, is why not? And I asked him, why not take the what out of it and put who does it? Wouldn't that be an easier thing? God does that. God separates. You fall till you reach this point, and then after that you float. Wouldn't it be easier to just say, who does it? God does it. Well, like a teacher, he didn't like that much, because that puts it to not really letting things like that worry you. We don't have, like you said, we don't have to have all the answers, do we? We just trust it. But science has got to explain it. God in his power does all. He does all. And he does all. Everything he does is with thoughts toward us, his people, his believers, his little ones. We have the scripture calls it a peculiar relationship with him, don't we? So because of that special, peculiar relationship, those thoughts, if those thoughts of us on the physical end of things, if God didn't constantly think of us, our blood wouldn't flow. We couldn't, that's what that chapter's saying. We couldn't take in oxygen and let off poison. See, without him thinking of us. And then on a higher level, there would be no, there, without God thinking of us, there'd be no spirit of sonship in us. There'd be no cry of Abba Father. There'd be no faith, hope, or love without God's thoughts first of us. Because he thinks of us, we think of him. If he never thought of us, trust me, we'd never think of God. Here's another thing, his thoughts. Second point is his thoughts of us is not only a fact, but his thoughts are numerous. The text reads there, the sum of them are very great. It says, actually, they're greater than the sands of, not the seashore. See, people read that wrong. They're greater than the sands. Wherever there's sands, not just the seashore, the deserts. Wherever there's sand everywhere. And I said, like, wouldn't it be great just to think God thought of you a scoopful of sand? How many grains are in one shovelful of sand? But his thoughts are greater than all the sand you can imagine, and they're toward you. Same number toward you as you, as you, as you, as you. Not, he thinks of all of us. Isn't that amazing? We can't comprehend that. They can't prove that. You just got to believe it. Oh, my goodness. How important we are to God. Nobody's. How important we are to Him. What do we have? See what you have in Christ that the rest of this religious world just has. They just miss it. God's not impressed with when you predict He's coming back and what you wear before you get. He's not impressed with all that. The Scripture tells you that. I'm not impressed with those things. I'm impressed about what you think of my son. He says, I'm so impressed with you, I've got you graven on the palms of my hands. We're poor and needy and sinful, and yet God thinks of us. Our Lord told his disciples, he said, He knows your needs from afar. What's he talking about there? You're getting into this, we say these things describing God so we can understand them, but and that's hard to do too, and that's, you can't explain that. But but he thinks, what he's saying to his disciples is, my Father knows your needs from afar. God thinks about them. He's looked carefully at all those aspects of those thoughts, as he's thought of you. Everything that concerns you, he's thought it out. And it's for your best. Your absolute best. There's so many things we'll never completely understand. We'll never understand it here. How in the world was that for my best? A lot of things, though, we do. We look back and say, now I see. But then there's some we'll never. You think, why? Wasn't there another way to have done that? And then thirdly, they're tender thoughts. God never thinks of us in a harsh way. Never, as much as you may love somebody, as much as you may, you cannot look me in the eye and say you don't have unkind thoughts of them sometimes. As much as you love somebody. And we won't go there. But it's the truth. Or I'm very different than the rest of you. But God never thinks of us in a harsh way. And he knows everything. I don't know everything about her, and I think harshly of her sometimes. He knows everything about me. He knows my harsh thoughts toward him sometimes. And he never gets angry with me. Not an unkind thought toward the weakest, most prone to wander off. You know, we got folks in our church group and other church groups. They wander in, they wander out, they show up, they come and they go. And we have bad thoughts. But if they're true believers, God never has a harsh thought on that. And he'll fix that. He'll fix that. Matter of fact, God looks at us with intense love and affection. That's the gist of this chapter. It's not just passing thought. He admires us. However that's possible, and we know how it's possible, it's only possible through that Son he admires. He sees all of us in him. But those looks, but sometimes, you know, we say that and we take the feeling, well, God looks at me through Christ, but he truly loves you through Christ. And he admires you through Christ. I don't know how that works, but he does. He does. We're part of Christ. That body, we will never understand. We're part of that union. We're as much a part of the Father as that only begotten is part of that Father. We're part of that body. And even if it's just a tip of a fingernail that you're a part of, you're thought of as much as that head is. And you're admired and you're loved and you're cared for, just like he is. And when he scolds us, and you think his love is hidden, it's not. It's only for our better. His aim is our spiritual growth. His aim is to whittle off those things. As he's thinking and whittling, he's thinking, I'm making him more like my son. Making Lori more like my son. Nikki, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing. Don't understand it, but that's what I'm doing. Or they don't understand it. And we know that's true. We know that they're tender. Think about it. If they weren't tender, he'd have weeded me out a long, long time ago. He'd have just wiped me. If he ever had a harsh thought toward me, it'd been over with me a long time ago. He doesn't deal according to our sins or reward according to our iniquities. That's what the scripture says in. That's Bible. And then think of this. Think about these things. How often, we don't understand this. Those thoughts that go ahead of us, how he considers all our path. Think about how often he's sent this along to prepare you for this. You know, this sad thing made this sadder thing, this crushing thing, not quite as bad. Without this one would have crushed us. See those foregoing thoughts of you? How he looks at your whole life and this is what's best for him. Scripture says this. He says, thy gentleness hath made me great. There's a lot of thought in that. Just think about that scripture. Run those references. Thy gentleness hath made me great. And then his thoughts of us are practical. God thinks and does. His thoughts are always acts. Scripture says that. He said his will is to do. You know, God's thoughts would have no comfort. This message would have no comfort if his hand never moved to help us. You know, that's the difference between us and God. We often have good thoughts and we have good intentions, but we just never move to help people out, do we? And I look back, I thought, I forgot I was going to help. I was going to call and see if they needed me today, or I was going to do this, or I was going to do that. I meant to call and check on them. And you forget. We forget. But his thoughts are never without action. Always. Always. Think of this. God knew and thought of us. If he knew and thought of us before the Son knew its place, he said, Scripture says, the everlasting covenant ordained in all things and sure. So, as you look back at all the thoughts, think of it this way. Think of our covenant head standing as our substitute and surety. All that was planned for you in eternity. For you individually. So all through eternity, with just that one thing, just his son is our substitute and surety. All through eternity, his thoughts were with action. See, that was the first, that's the action we can read about. We know he thought of us and chose us before the foundation of the world. So the action to make us his was the sending forth of his son. But it's all things. That's the big thing. That's what made all these other thoughts possible. But every individual thought, every little thing in your life is thought out by God. So that's how practical, how useful. You know, we do that too. We'll offer to do something, or you know, and it's not practical, just not practical. You know, you think, did they know it wasn't going to be practical before they asked me to? But all of God's thoughts, actions are practical, doable. And this, he thought of us. Think of this. He thought of us. He thought of you as a baby. You two as a babies. And then he thought of you as teen children, then teens. And he led you along. Then children came and he thought of you. And he thought of them. And now grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He's thought of them, continues to think of them in that special way. Not just a general sense, but in that special way. See how his thoughts? And then they'll continue. They won't end with, even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you, I bear you. He says this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All those thoughts. So what of our thoughts concerning his thoughts? In other words, how does the thought of him thinking of you move you? Verse 17 there. How precious. A lot of translators translated it, how rare. How rare are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And those words for rare could have been peculiar, marked, and special. Unique thoughts. That's what I was saying a while ago. It's not just a general thought that he has. They're unique thoughts for each individual person here. They're targeted thoughts toward you. You know, God could have sent an angel to walk with us, Tony, and all of our days. And that would have been special. I got my own angel. And he thinks of me. He guides me. But God, Moses said, that angel's not that special then. Let me show you. Exodus 33. Verse 2. God said, he said, I'm going to send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. God was angry with the people. That's the gist of it. He said, I'm not going. I'll send an angel, and he'll drive them out, but I'm not going. That's what the gist of what verse 2 is. Well, then Moses starts to pray. And as this chapter develops, he starts to pray. And he's praying for the people as he always did. And he calls to God's remembrance. Look, you said you were my friend, and that you talked to me as a friend, that you thought of me as a friend. For the sake of that. So in verse 15, he says this. Moses said to the Lord, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. In other words, don't send that angel. If you don't come and go with us, we don't want to go. So that's what I'm saying. Moses, you know, Moses, that angel wasn't as special as God's presence. Moses said, Angel's good, but if you don't come go with us, we ain't going. We don't want to go. So what are our thoughts? They're happy, aren't they? They're joyous thoughts. To be thought of by God. And like I said, one time that was a dreadful thought, but it must be. But not now. And we know, we're not perfect. We know that by nowhere near where we should be. But we can pray with David. David prays there in verse 23. He says, search me, O God. And he says, know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. And that's what we'll pray. We pray this. Lord, you'll see. You're going to see much that's going to grieve you. A lot that's going to grieve you. Disappoint you much in me that you're going to need to fix, but you already know that. But just don't quit thinking about me. Just your thoughts are medicine to me. Don't quit thinking about me. And then his thoughts are consoling thoughts. You know, when somebody's in the hospital, it gives you a lot of comfort if you're in the hospital to know they don't have to be in the room, just to know that they're out there, that they're out there in that day area or the waiting room. Just, you know, somebody, well, you got your nurse will come in, your family's out there, you got eight people out there, you know, thinking about you. That's consoling, isn't it? Just to know that they're thinking. Even a child, just sometimes the grandkids will come over and it's just so, ask you to do something, just to know they're thinking, or come sit beside you. Know they're thinking about you. That's consoling, isn't it? So even a child can give that peace and to be remembered. You know, like I said, sometimes we don't remember, but to never be forgotten of God. And then often those that at one time were consoling, were loving, turn, don't they? Something happens. And that's what David said. He said, you know, he said, you used to be my friend. You used to be my, David, well, you know, used to be, you could hear it in him. You used to be my friend. You used to go to church with me. What happened? That happens with people on it. Sometimes, and I'm sure I've done it, somebody probably says, Britt, I'll never hear from him. What'd I do to him? We think about others. What I do to so and so? I try to remember now, well, I've probably done it to somebody. You know, try not to think they did anything to you. You've probably done it to others. And then it strengthens our faith, our love, and our zeal. Know what these thoughts of God thinking about us, it strengthens us, don't it? Isaac Watts wrote this. He said, I can do all things or bear all sufferings if my Lord be there. Sweet pleasures mingle with pains while his hand my head sustains. Always. Strengthens us. And then this last part, when I awake, I'm still with you. Now, I am direct opposite of every commentator I read on this, because sometimes you read it and you think your thought goes here. Let me say, well, let me check. So I may miss it here. But I thought of this. I thought of mothers with sick ones in a hospital. I thought of y'all with Jax, you know. Family was there a lot, but those two were there, 99% of the time. Every time Jax would wake up, it'd be, there's mom, there's dad. Still with me. Still with me. And you know, it doesn't read, this is not the way it reads. It doesn't read, you're still with me. It reads, I'm, you know, is there a difference there? Do y'all, I mean, am I reading it wrong? I'm still with you. Son, I'm still with you. You know, when we wake up, we go to sleep spiritually. We wake up from spiritual weakness, and spiritual complacency, and faith sort of fades and falters and fails. And you know, I remember when Peter and the disciples fled, and the Lord was still there, still I was upon them, wasn't it? That's how we go into those spiritual sleep, spiritual withdrawals. But when we wake, I'm still with you. And then one day we're going to sleep. We're going to sleep at forever, that long sleep, not a forever sleep, that long sleep. We're all going to sleep it one day, that long sleep. But even there, we're not alone. We're not alone. It's what it says. Whither will I go? And your spirit's not there. If I descend into hell, that's the grave. Well, there you are. There you are. And whether you sleep, that body sleeps, is, you know, Abel's been sleeping for thousands of years, or I may go today and our Lord comes back tomorrow. When the moment, the very second you wake, he's going to be there. And then we'll awake. Scripture says it in Psalm 17, we'll be satisfied because we'll awake in his likeness. We'll see him and we'll be like him because we'll see him as he really is. But he never leaves you.